Welcome to Soul Talk, soulful conversations exploring who you are, why you're here, and how to live your most authentic life. My name is Coop Blackson, nationally bestselling author of You Are the One, transformational teacher, and your host. I invite you to subscribe to the Soul Talk podcast for weekly inspiration from me, where I will share with you some powerful ideas, thoughts, and practical life wisdom to help you live life more fully, freeing yourself from your past, reclaiming your power, and living your true life's purpose. You can also go to www.coopblackson.com, enter your name and email to download my free 2-part video training series and learn the ultimate secrets to happiness and fulfillment. Let's get started with Soul Talk.
Welcome to another very special episode of the Soul Talk podcast, folks. I think you're in for a real treat today. I get to introduce you to a friend of mine who I've known. Wow, I even forget how we met, but it's been quite a while since him and I met, and I've seen him do some amazing things over the last years. He's a co-host of the Emmy Award-winning number one Netflix docuseries, which you may have seen, Down to Earth with Zac Efron. He just released a new book, which I'm beginning to delve into, Fatal Conveniences, which is all about the toxic products and harmful habits that are making you sick and the simple changes that will save your health. I have a feeling it's going to be a powerful conversation today. He also wrote the book Super Life. And so he's a superfood, what should we call it? Superfood hunter. And I'm all about superfoods and supercharging life. Welcome to the conversation, Darren Olien. Welcome.
Coop, thank you. Great to see you, brother.
It's great to see you, bro. Where did we meet? Yeah, it was ages ago. And then I know we reconnected on your podcast, but how and where did we meet? I know we crossed paths way back.
20 years ago.
It was about 20 years ago. I think it was about 20 years ago through some event or some friends or, a party in Venice or something.
Yeah, I think I had an old girlfriend, Patricia Sill. Do you remember Patricia?
Maybe, yeah. I know Patricia, maybe through her or...
Yeah, it was like some event and... what was her name? Anya Carey. Wow. God, this is like, yeah, but it was like I was in the USM, spiritual psychology, like it was like a lot of that stuff for sure.
Wow. It's great to be reconnected, and I'm really, really just stoked to see what you've been up to and just your offering to the world and sharing your purpose and the impact you're having. It's really beautiful to see. I'm proud of you. Just great to see your work. So I want to dive straight into, like, I'm always curious about how people found their calling and what drove them to be doing what they're doing now. Was it something you always knew? Was it an event? Was it a specific moment? Was it a pain? Was it your parents? Like what, how did you find your path?
I mean, very much so. You know, the superfood world opened up, and the physiology world and the magnificence of this kind of body that we get to use for a period of time. Yeah. All of that kind of came by way of having a career-ending football injury in college. And then the light bulb said, well, why don't I just study this thing? It was like a concept that was the enlightening at the moment, because every school is kind of programming you to be an employee.
Yeah.
And I never was like, I don't want to be an accountant, don't want to be a doctor, don't want to be any of these things. I want to just do something that inspires me. And so through the injury, it got me down this path of health, and then inspired kind of along the way. And then running around the world was innocent in terms of just, I wanted to know the people that were growing food and curating botanicals and foraging, and how did they actually use them so that the magic qualities, the constituents were there preserved. And along, so that path was inspired by way of injury. And alongside that, which is now matured and manifested itself. Alongside of that, didn't even realize what was going to happen. But my father, when I was studying, he told me one. This is a high functioning guy. This was a college professor, college counselor, like tenured professor at a university, and all of a sudden I'm at university a couple hours away from my hometown, and he's like, hey, I'm developing some symptoms being exposed to chemicals. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he goes, yeah, like deodorants and shampoos and conditioners and laundry detergent and off-gassing of a normal t-shirt and cleaning products and colognes and perfumes. I'm like, what? Like, what? And so he's saying all this, and then he's all, at the same time, he's given me research. And so he's now bouncing this off with a couple of doctors that he's working with, and he's then diagnosed with multiple chemical sensitivity, and then was under forced retirement by the University of Minnesota because he couldn't be around anybody.
Wow.
Now imagine a high functioning, beautiful man who cares about people and realized how empathically connected he was to the world and understanding his spirituality and wasn't just brains. And he was maturing into this multi kind of beautiful person. And that's, I saw that I was very connected to my father later in life. Like, he was an alcoholic. He had challenges, and he was very distant in my early life. And so later in life, we had a very strong connection. And so now he's telling me this disabling situation. And now he's basically stepping back from society, stepping back from connection, because he's having brain fog. He's having depression. He's not able to think. And so now he's got to figure out what the hell's going on. And so now I'm seeing all this stuff, and in order to be around him, I got to do my laundry differently.
Wow.
I've got to not put on certain deodorants. I can't wash in certain things. So he sends care packages of curated products. And this is in the 90s, dude.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Right. So now my dad is very much, and you know, cut to the hard part of the story is that he couldn't really get out of that cycle. And that cycle, I think, contributed to a very challenging situation in his life. And he got very depressed, and he picked up the bottle after 30 years of sobriety. And that spiral led him down a path, and he ended up dying of alcoholism. So now, cut to in my life, I'm dedicated to health, natural health. I'm dedicated to ending unnecessary suffering in people by way of their lifestyle habits. And now I'm sitting here, I do a TV show, I do a book, and sure reaches out and says, what do you want to do? Screaming in my consciousness is this elephant in the room of our modern day world has toxic compounds that are all around us in a magnitude of billions and billions and billions of untested chemicals wafting into our world every single day with almost every single habit we're involved in, and going unchecked, untested, and unregulated, with the guise that there is regulation, but there really isn't. And so this book, Fatal Conveniences, was dedicated to my dad because of his suffering. And the more I look, the more I saw dangerous this stuff is. So that's really what put the fire in my belly, And it stays with the same kind of credo that I live by. And that is, well, we have this life. Let's live it as powerfully as we can. We can't just pretend that our body is infallible and it doesn't break down. So we have to take care of it. But if we're being thwarted by things that we're not even aware of, and some delusion of us all think that every product we buy is healthy, then that's a big problem when it's undermining the potential expression of our greatest life. So on the one hand, we can eat superfoods and sleep well and get hydrated and exercise and optimize and biohack and test and all of these things that maybe we have the luxury of doing. But if we don't also look at the other side of the coin and eliminate and change our habits with these toxic exposures that over time really have devastating consequences, then we're doing a disservice. I mean, my buddy Sean Stevenson dug up this research and by Lancet, one of the most well-respected research journals in the world. 2019 study showed that because of ultra-processed food, 11 billion people are dying every year around the globe because of poor choices of food. 11 billion people. So we have created
Wait,
systems,
11 billion people, a
million,
million,
11,
million,
11 million people are
million.
dying every year as it's related to choices or lack of choice within food, right? And then the proponents of ultra processed food and subsidized poor quality food and ultra processed food as it relates to chemicals and pesticides and herbicides. So that is one example of a massive fatal convenience, is that we may have access, certainly in the first world, we have access to a lot of food, but that food is infinitely poor in its capability of providing the very architecture that our physical bodies require. And if your physical bodies don't have the architecture to repair, regenerate, and replenish, then you absolutely will start failing. And we always know what happens when we start failing is that the hierarchy of needs certainly comes in. You can't self-actualize
No.
anything when your bones are brittle, your heart disease is skyrocketing, your degenerative diseases have now proliferated, and now you're running around using the industrial healthcare complex as a way to have band-aids for something that largely is preventable by the fabric of us. So all of these things, and of course I get into so many more in our personal care items and what's in our home and the kind of clothes we're putting on. It's just like, it's not a popular subject, but Coot, you know more than anyone. Changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if you don't turn and face. And that is psychologically, emotionally, physically. If you don't turn and face it and you spiritually bypass it, or emotionally bypass it, or mentally bypass it, and I just don't want to have to deal with it, then you become a victim of that very thing that you're avoiding to do. So this is the fabric of the undermining of our health in such a massive way, but it isn't. without our agency of change. It is powerful because it's as, you know, if I'm faced with I'm thirsty and I have a choice, because everything happens in this moment. So if I'm thirsty, let's use it as an example. You don't have to be overwhelmed by all of the choices. You can just go, okay, there's a water bottle that was marketed to you by, call it a Coca-Cola company, right? It's surrounded in plastic. You don't really know what's in the water, and it's been on the shelf. Or a second choice is a filtered, remineralized, healthy water in a glass bottle. You're still taking the same action of choosing. You have choice, and then you're grabbing. The same result is you're drinking something. But there's a massively different experience that's happening. On the one hand, the plastics, which are petroleum and hundreds of chemicals that it was created to make this usable material, plasticizers, phthalates, PFAS, endocrine disruptors, all of these things chelating and leaching into the water. It's not just plain old water anymore.
Yeah.
You've now, it's a carrier of toxic material. And the other choice is a well-filtered reverse osmosis distillation, remineralized with maybe shilajit or unrefined Celtic salt, Himalayan salt, whatever it is, that by choosing that, one is toxic. And if you do that every day, all the time, that will create massive effect in your life. Largely won't get you very hydrated on a cellular level. On the other hand, the other choice is that you've eliminated the hundreds of chemicals in that other choice. And you've then given yourself the blueprint of true hydration without the toxic load. So that second choice of filtered, clean, and if you have access to spring water and it's tested and everything else, yes, of course, then that's the gold standard. But you've done a very powerful thing. One is saying no to the one toxic product, and the other saying yes to the life-giving. So not only are you saying no to the toxic load, you're saying yes to the life-giving hydrative qualities. That's within this whole book. Everything, I'm illuminating the apathetic consumerism that has been pressed upon all of us, because we were all born into a certain level of these systems, that by making a better choice of water, you're exponentially making a massive shift in your life. And then, instead of being overwhelmed by all the things that I can talk about here and we can talk about and is my book, you just then make the next best choice. And then once you've made that choice, you just develop habits, and then habits directed towards a healthy, regenerative life will give you more and more and more opportunity and integration and inspiration, and allow you to then not be a victim of what will eventually continue to cause harm on your system, on your body, etc. So that's the cornerstone of everything. It's almost like these matrix moments when you're going, wait a minute, why is there a forever chemical in and on my dental floss?
Well,
that's connected to kidney cancer, high cholesterol. And that bioaccumulates in the environment as well as in our microenvironment in our body. Why is that? Pre and profluoroalkali substance from a fluorine gas that is connected to all these things. Why is that going in my mouth? And I don't know that that is even there. And it's not on the back of any label. Like, so that's why I feel like, shoot, my dad didn't know until he knew. He built up over time and then suffered with this bioaccumulated problem in his life. And on so many different levels, we have growing electrosensitivities. 17% of the population can't even hold a cell phone without severe immune stress responses. And there's now thousands of studies validating certain stress responses from electromagnetic pollution and radiation. There's growing population of people like my father with multiple chemical sensitivity. And imagine from the 90s until now, there's billions upon billions of chemicals that have been added to our environment that are only causing greater and greater problems. So it is not my intention to bum people out with all this information. Going back to what we were saying, I don't want people to go to the store thinking that they can buy X, Y, and Z laundry detergent without those fragrances that are connected and probable carcinogens and endocrine disruptors. I don't want them thinking that everything's cool when it's in fact harming you and your children.
Yeah.
It's not okay. And it's not okay that we're just like, on some level, okay with it. So that's what it's about. It'd be like you in one of your workshops, Coot, and then someone stands up and go, "Hey man, I just have all this anger towards my dad, and it's been there for the last 20 years." And you're just going, "Oh, okay." Like, no, you're part of your mission is to help them see that it's holding them back and causing harm. So in my world, I saw this harming my father. And the more research, the 20 researchers I used for 2.5 years, the multiple agencies that are working to illuminate this problem, it just was staring at me. And I said, I got to do my best to just go, this isn't cool. This isn't okay. This is adding to our own suffering. And acutely, I'm not saying that you picking up your cell phone or washing your shirt with Tide laundry detergent is going to kill you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that over time, these things are knowingly harmful. The ingredients in these and the loopholes of fragrances that they don't have to claim, the PFAS that they don't have to put on the back of the label so that your shirt is not getting wrinkly and your carpet is got a special stain repellent and your mattress has a moisture wicking. Like, all those are cool, those are conveniences, but no one's telling you in order to do those things there is a flaw. And no one's talking about the flaw.
And then we don't even know, and we don't even have a choice in the matter. And so I guess there's two questions that arise, and you can answer them whichever order. Is, I guess the first question is, how is it possible to allow these companies to put some of these products out, knowing the toxic nature of some of these chemicals and what they can, the impact they can cause? I guess firstly, how do we allow that? How does the government allow that? How is this even, I mean, how is it even possible? Can you answer that? Let's answer that question first.
Yeah. I mean, that's the $1 trillion question. How the hell is this even possible? How is it? And one thing that I saw across most industries is that if you don't have to prove, you can just throw your product into the market. You don't have to prove that it's safe. There's no thing that you have to do to prove it's safe. It's on you to make it safe, but there's no agency checking on that. Huh. That's the alarming thing. The FDA has no ability to check any of these things. The only time you see these things, EPA is the same way, FCC is the same way, USDA is the same way, NIH is the same way. Hell, I see articles that they publish knowing that there's chemicals that are probable carcinogens, and yet they're all over in these products. How is that possible? You know about it? Mm-hmm. So one thing that, and then I'll answer it in another way, one thing that they call it, they get away with, is if you don't actually test your product, then there's a thing called plausible deniability. Hey, man, you can't prove that it was our product. Well, yeah, but you have PFAS on that, and that's linked to cancer. Yeah, but you can't prove that the small amount of PFAS that's on our dental floss is carcinogenic. I'm like, yeah, but it's the probable carcinogen and it's on the dental floss. Yeah, but you can't prove that that's direct cause. So because scientifically you have to reduce things down to a cause and effect kind of models. So inherently, they're not looking at holism of any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Where it really gets wonky is the interaction of every product that you're using throughout the day, everything you're consuming throughout the day, every device you're using every day, all day. The real world data is exponentially greater fold than anything that was ever been tested anyway. Mm-hmm. But none of them are really doing any data on whether their thing is safe, so that they can sit back and throw their attorneys at it and go, it's plausible deniability, you can't prove it.
And is it also because, like, the using these, you know, toxic chemical, is it cheaper for them to make it this way? Is it economics? Is it,
well, you, like, can you,
is there some other agenda, you yeah. know, that is playing out with the pharmaceutical and the medical, I mean, or like,
yeah, you could easily. Well, the obvious one is several different ways to answer that. The stark reality is, I believe, through all of this stuff, that the God that we've turned to worship more than anything else is the God of profit, right? So we have somehow allowed for big companies, big business, the lobbying efforts, the billions, if not trillions of dollars,
yeah,
to manipulate the rules, the regulations, the laws, the loopholes, so that they can slide into these other things. Now, the other thing is, absolutely, are these things cheaper? They're cheaper, absolutely, but it's also lazy. So, for example, using PFAS is in everything. It's so many different products, and from your clothing to your carpets to fire retardants to packaging on food, so your food doesn't stick. It's heat resistant. It's slippery. It's really good at its job. But I know a very big company today who is developing and already has developed alternatives to the chemicalized version of PFAS using algae that doesn't have a laundry list of side effects.
Mm.
And that can be, here's the irony. Sometimes it doesn't always work out this way, but they have priced it at something that's even lower than the chemicalized version. It just hasn't yet. It hasn't proliferated in the environment, but it exists today. Same thing with plastic, right? Plastic's in everything, very cheap, and it's really good at its job. But all it takes is an investment into alternative packaging, and then you scale. And a lot of times these things work out over scaling. Same thing with, I know a very big company working with Conagra, Walmart, Pepsi, McDonald's, all these things. And they're using waste streams and also waste streams of cardboard and plant lignins, and they're making alternative packaging. So to answer that is, if they are focused on their bottom line, they're not going to stop that to lose out a profit in that quarter to develop something, unless, and this is why you and I are having this conversation and why your audience is listening right now, unless there's pressure.
Yeah.
And when there's pressure, then it gets overwhelming for them not to respond. But the issue is they blasted it out on us already. That's the first problem. And then someone like a environmental working group or Campaign for Safe Cosmetics or some organization that is nonprofit, that is dedicated to like, you know, whistleblowing, even like an individual like Food Babe, like she'll go after freaking Starbucks for pumpkin spice and not having any pumpkin in the pumpkin spice and a bunch of chemicals. So she got them to change their damn formula.
Right.
So only until it gets tested and gets pushed back, then the good side of social media, then we all go, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you putting a probable carcinogen in my dental floss?
Crazy.
I don't want that. And I don't want it in my children. I don't want the fluoride that comes from a waste toxic stream of the pesticide and herbicide company or side of that business. That's where that fluoride comes in, that put in our water and to put in our toothpaste, and is a neurotoxin. And I pull a lot of studies and showing that in the book.
Mm.
Like, we never made that choice. Why are you putting fluoride in my water?
Mm. Wow.
I don't want it in my water. It's a neurotoxin. It's toxic material. So unless you test it, unless we wake up and then we go, no more. But the first thing we can do is say, no more. I'm not going to buy that product. And I'm going to shift over here. Because then my microculture, my family that I love and care. We just talking about your wife, right? So your wife is like, she's a force of nature. The mamas in the world are a force of nature. But if they don't know, they don't know. But if we tell them, look at this study, look at this baby bib that has PFAS on it, and your kid is wiping his fingers and putting food in his mouth, that's a chemical that your child. Did mothers know that over 200 chemicals are also in the umbilical cord of most children that are being born today?
Wow. Wow.
And I think it was 70 to 75% of them are carcinogenic.
Wow.
And the child hasn't even been born.
Yes. Could you give a breakdown of the fatal conveniences? Like, what are the main things that we don't, you've mentioned a few, the fluoride, right? The PFAS, but there's probably so many that I'm sure you cover in your book, but for us listening, could you maybe give a breakdown of here are the 10, here are the 20, like key things that just it's just rampant in everyday life that we don't even think about. We would be shocked hearing we at least could be aware of and make small changes in our lives to just begin. Because I think for some people it can be overwhelming, but if you could just break down like 10, 20 of the core ones that we can start becoming aware of.
Yeah. So just to make it super clear on the dental floss, because that one messed me up early on, because it's plastic and then it's covered in PFAS, so it slips easy in and out of the teeth. So it's wildly convenient, but it's carcinogenic, and it's labeled probable carcinogens by the WHO, right? And likely, I think it moved up to now likely. So that we can shift. And
So what does someone use instead of dental floss now?
I would get an organic thread. There's a great company called Bite Toothpaste. It's got a lot of answers to some of this stuff. They've got a thing, and an easy thing that slips easy. What I do is I wet it. I get the dental floss and I just wet it first, and then it slides between your teeth and you do its job, right? So you've now eliminated a toxic exposure. So just sticking with your mouth, eliminate the toothpaste. Every time you have a micro exposure, you also have a macro exposure. The way these things are created is detrimental to the environment as well as your environment. So the toxic fluorides, the flavors, natural flavors, all of these things you're not supposed to swallow at all. And if you look in the back of normal toothpaste tubes, you're supposed to call the toxic control center, and you're like, wait a minute. But then the study shows that everybody naturally swallows a certain percentage of toothpaste all the time. You're like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. So switch your toothpaste, and also the tubes, they're just plastic. So now there's your liquid that you're putting in your mouth is chelating with plastic. So you're also potentially pulling more plastic and plasticizers into the toothpaste. So again, Bite toothpaste, it's a little capsule. You literally just bite on it, chew it, clean in products, comes in sustainable packaging. One of my go-tos. And then you can get natural deodorants. So then things that put on your skin as a incredible organ, your skin, think of it as what goes on, goes in your body eventually, transdermally, and then into the blood. So think about the deodorant. Everyone wants to smell good, I get it, but there's a lot of great alternatives. You've got Hume, Hume. You've got Wild, which is a great. You've got, again, Bite toothpaste has got a great one with sustainable packaging. And then think of things like the phthalates, the fragrances in your shampoos, your conditioners, everything else. Those are, again, the perfumes, the fragrances. Those have loopholes. They don't have to disclose the hundreds of chemicals, and largely those things, the flow agents, the preservatives, the emulsifiers, all of those things are endocrine disrupting. Endocrine disrupting are these things that thwart, change, and mimic hormones, specifically estrogen. So it creates estrogen dominance. And so now, if you do that every day, all day, it potentially moves children, girls into menstruation earlier because of the estrogen dominance that's already in their bodies, and then can create PMS issues, and then God forbid, birth control pills, which are very dangerous.
Can you
So
say anything about that?
yeah, well, these are synthetic hormones that, instead of looking at the foundation of a woman's health and testing hormonal levels, testing as it relates to what they're consuming, what their environment is, again, what is putting on their skin, what are their cleaning products, all of that's going to throw off everybody's hormones, but of course, through the cycle of a woman, that is a lot more intense than ours. We go through micro hormonal shifts about every 20 minutes as men.
Yeah.
But women, obviously, the dominance of those hormones. So that can make you're throwing synthetic hormones at basically a problem that you're not even testing for.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that can lead to, you know, the whole idea is to lower the PMS, to all of that stuff. And it has very little to do at this point with actual birth control. So the carcinogenic activity coming out around that stuff is pretty scary.
Mm.
And then again, through lifetime, it's a challenging thing. And then, you know, going back to water has an amazing, we're an amazing country where we have water on demand. So you can go to your tap and you're like, yeah, it's relatively clean. And I would say, yeah, relatively clean. It's not acutely killing you. So the municipalities are making sure that typhoid, dysentery, diphtheria is not killing you acutely or having you bend over and vomit and diarrhea. And mm-hmm. that's a win, right? Many places around the world to which I've been, they don't have that option. There's yeah. about 2 billion people that don't have access to any clean water.
Mm.
And so I want to illuminate, that's a great convenience, but they have not sophisticated their filter systems to get out all of the things that have ended up in our environment. And that is pharmaceutical drugs, that is pesticides and herbicides, that is PFAS. About 48% of the U.S. population is the biggest exposure of this PFAS forever chemical is coming from the tap water, right? So we're getting hit with all these chemicals, and we don't need to do that. Like normal Brita filters aren't doing the job.
Mm.
You need something like distillation, which evaporates and then recondenses, or reverse osmosis water, and then remineralize. Very important to remineralize with Shilajit, great company that I love, is called Mana Vitality. You can get a good unrefined salt and add a pinch per glass. And largely you're remineralized, wonderful water. So that's a big one because you're opening up your mouth. And then 60% of the calories of adults come from ultra processed food. 70% of our children's coming from ultra processed food, full of chemicals, very low in, essential nutrients. So this is where we can make a massive change. Like I said, that 11 million people are dying of inadequate food consumption every year. And we're just sitting here allowing it. And, you know, fast foods obviously are horrible, but surprisingly, a lot of the calories of these ultra processed foods are coming from these cheap baked goods, breads, donuts, muffins, granola bars, like all of these things that are seemingly harmless, the amount of calories we're getting from that, and then how they were created, what they were created from the conventional growing of ag, then can contribute to more glyphosate exposure, which glyphosate, Roundup Ready, it's an insecticide, pesticide, and also antibiotic. So then it breaks down a lot of things in your body, and throws off a cascade of inflammatory responses. So imagine now that if you get that story of reversing what I said, is like 70% of the calories of our children are coming from these, and then their baked goods and their donuts and there's all of these things. And then they're a trail of danger because we've got these chemicalized foods, these conventionally foods. And so we're having children with diabetes and heart disease markers and high cholesterol and Obviously, degenerative disease is one of the main things that are killing us. So, you know, and then 6,000 food deserts around the world, cities, places that a lot of people live have no access to whole food.
Wow.
But yet they walk out their door and there's like within a seeing distance, there's 10 fast food restaurants, 3 liquor stores, and then all of that being subsidized by our tax dollars. So how is it that you can go buy, you know, 4 tacos for $3? Because it's an impossible economic model, because we're subsidizing horrible food to then sell back, being sold back to ourselves, causing issues by the money that we're working our ass off for. Did we vote on that? No. So then you have this big corporation kind of monopolies that are pushing on the governments and lobbying for all this stuff. And so it becomes a really intense kind of cycle. And again, we go back to, okay, we can get overwhelmed by that whole thing, but we have agency of change.
Yeah.
We can still make that different choice. And it doesn't have to be economically blowing us up, right? So like going back to the water example, if I get a filter system that's adequate and I get a glass container, I've now eliminated the need to buy water and horrible water. And now I've eliminated toxic exposure. Same with food. Look at per calorie, the amount of food you're putting into your body versus the volume of food. And so we're being marketed and hyper palatable food. It is not 100% people's fault that they are not feeling well and are obese.
Yeah.
Again, we are, our environment is so powerful. You know, we always, you know, you've been around this space for a long time. You know, you look at the 5 people you're hanging out with, you can pretty much tell where someone's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who are you hanging out with? Are they mentors? Are they people that you look up to? Or are they just kind of, then chances are you're just going to have a life,
right? Yeah.
You know? So it's the same thing with food. Like, you have to support yourself and, you know, go find a farmer, go find the farmer's markets, try to look at food from a information standpoint. Food is information. What kind of information is coming from its altered, it's not even remotely food anymore. It's reconfigured with 40 different chemicals to then make it addicting for you, and then sold it back to you for a super price. And so that information added up over time is going to thwart your body system, your temple.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go back to like, okay, let's get some whole food in here and do your best. And if you can't buy organic right now, then conventional, make sure you do your best and you wash the foods that are more exposed, the ones that are being blasted with pesticides and herbicides. And those are like the leafy greens that are conventional, the blueberries, the strawberries, the nectarines, the peaches, the chards, these kind of things that are exposed, wash those. And then if the people listening to your podcast today, if you can afford making better choices, please do it. Because the more of you who can afford to do it, who have the means, then you're going to create the foundation for those things to come on board for other people, right? So sometimes, but there's also DIY stuff. There's incredible do-it-yourself stuff where like, you know, I love chaga mushrooms. I even named my dog Chaga. I love Four Sigmatic, and I formulated with chaga. But like, you know, a super cheap way to make incredible chaga is buy, there's a great company called Z Naturals. You can buy a freaking pounds of it ground up. You can put it on the stove. You can simmer it for 10 or 15 minutes. You can strain it. And I have a liter full of chaga that is an incredible like adaptogenic herb, the king of medicinal mushrooms that I can consume every day. And and I'm telling you, when you invest into yourself, you don't have to buy every biohacking blah, blah, blah. You need to drink good water. You need to eat whole food. You need to sleep well. You need to, you know, there's an amazing stat that my buddy Sean Stevenson again told me around. What was it? It was 20-30% of heart disease and degeneration goes down just by the family eating one meal together. Like oxytocin goes up, the parasympathetic response goes up, which is the good thing. So stress markers go down just by eating one meal. And there's more details in this, but he said that the workers, people who are working, busting, they call it the dads or the moms, the one busting their ass all the time, but they made it home and ate, their productivity went through the roof just by that one social connection of their own family. So these kind of, don't forget the nutrients of connection, right? The nutrients of connection and the sitting around and bring home a bag of, of avocados and fresh heirloom tomatoes and basil and Himalayan salt, and like make that fun guacamole with your kid. And then have a conversation. And then culturally, people shared after a meal. They shared, they downloaded real information. Indigenous people shared the ancestral information after that meal. So this is the fabric of us. And when we're running around thinking that productivity is measured by the lie that's been propagated on us, and that profit, again, money is the god over everything else. If we buy into that totally, then we undercut our very fabric of our own life, and then we're just in the machine. We're in the machine, and we have so much more control. There's so many things that we can maximize our time to then maximize the health and safety of our family. And it's more than just the excuse of I need to work harder, so therefore I'm not going to spend much time with my family. Like there's a lot to look at, and the more we reduce these conversations down to a couple biometrics, the more we lose. So we have to look at holism as it relates to everything. And I think that's where, even in the book, I can get it. People are like, holy shit, I had no idea that my deodorant had aluminum salts in there, and especially women's, connected to breast cancer. I had no idea that cell phone that's in my pocket, the proximity of my testes and my ovaries, that is several studies showing that the motility, the endocrine disrupting and the motility of sperm goes down, testosterone goes down. Again, proximity and duration of especially electromagnetic fields that are polarized radiation, even non-ionizing radiation. Non-ionizing is what the cell phones, smart devices, gaming devices, all of that stuff. Ionizing radiation, we already know. You get an x-ray, you put on a lead shield, and hopefully you don't have many x-rays, because they will rip your DNA apart, right? They will cause cancer. We know that. Non-ionizing radiation, they think that, oh, it's safe. There's enough safety data. It's not true at all. There's not safety data that has been done. No telecommunication company has ever done safety data on 1, 2, 3, 4G, 5G, zero. They will never do it. And then they lean on the old 20-year-old studies of FCC holds as SARS, which is thermal thermal proximity, not taking into the account frequency and magnetic radiation in the microwave spectrum. So this is dangerous, and this is causing free radical damage. So you still use your devices, but there's a lot of healthy small tweaks you can do. Never put your cell phone. I have air tubes in, plug back in. I love to see that you're plugged back in, because Bluetooth is also the proximity in your brain. Even though the voltage is less, it's still the polarized radiation in your head, and duration and proximity is a very big deal when it comes to electromagnetic pollution. Wow. So that's where we just have to wake up to this modern day world, and then just do mitigating choices so that this doesn't happen overnight, but just take one thing at a time, you know, and then be aware of what kind of clothes you have on, what kind of underwear, what kind of things are on your skin. Because largely the second largest polluter on the planet is clothing. I bet you most people didn't know that. And most of that you can't recycle, because it's made of what? Polyurethane, nylon, rayon, manufactured chemicals, petroleum chemicals that we're wearing. And so this is a really bad idea for us and the environment, even when it comes to clothing.
Wow. You got me thinking, and I really hope everyone listening is taking some thought for, you know, how we live our lives and how all of the choices affect us, affect the world, affect the environment. And, you know, one thing I'm really hearing you say is not just one thing, but it's all of these little things that interact, that compounded over time, that in a moment may not seem to make a big difference, but over time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, now we're 80, 90, 100 years old. It's like, why do I feel off? Because it's all these little things interacting. And so I really hope everybody listening is thinking about the choices they're making and how that impacts them. And I think one way that we can really love ourselves and practice self-loving is just gracefully making choices that honor ourselves in the small ways. And so, Darren, brother, thank you for writing the book. I'm looking forward to reading all of it now and delving in and sharing it with my wife and my family, because now, as a father, I'm really thinking about the impact of things that, you know, I didn't have time to think about now, because it's not just about me, it's about all. If I use that detergent that maybe I used to use and not think about, and I'm an adult, so I'm fine, but now I'll have to think about my kid, and there's a whole different level of responsibility. And so really appreciate your courage and your dedication to sharing this knowledge and information. As we wrap up, is there, I guess, two things. Is there anything finally you want to leave the audience with as a final message? And then where can people find out about you, the work, get your book?
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, you know, this stuff is, my final message would be, again, awareness without action is detrimental, I think, and leaves us less joyful, less possible, less, it's harder to live a life when you're not taking awareness, you're not taking action on what you're aware of. And that's the warrior's path. So everyone listening, you can hear these things and then lightly push it away. But I would argue, when you align yourself with your knowing and take an action towards what it is that you know, the doors open in ways that you can't possibly imagine. So that's the path of courage that I would also just encourage everyone to take. And yeah, people can find the book on anywhere where they love to buy books, DarrenOline.com, Darren Olean on all socials. And yeah, man, happy to discuss this with you, and happy for your audience to be open to hearing it. And yeah, on to kick some ass some more.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I think we've all been touched, and you've given us lots of food for thought.
And now it's time to start implementing, as you said, awareness without action. Now it's time to be aware, but also start implementing and taking action. So thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you folks. You heard it. Check out the book, Fatal Conveniences. Get it on wherever, Amazon, your favorite bookstore, retailer. And share this episode with everybody and anybody in your life that you feel needs to hear it. It's been quite eye-opening in so many ways. I think this episode and Darren's book can have a profound impact in the way we live and the way we interact and the choices that we make. And so share this episode with anyone in your life. Send me an email, kootblackson@kootblackson.com. I would love to hear your key takeaways and your insights from today's episode. And catch you next week in next week's episode of Soul Talk. Love now.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Soul Talk, please do share the podcast with all of your friends. Let everyone know and make sure you download Soul Talk today. I'm looking forward to next week where I'll get to share more inspiration with you. Meanwhile, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or social media. You can find out more about my work at www.kootblackson.com. If you feel ready to take your life to the next level, join me at my exclusive event in Bali, www.boundlessblissbali.com, where you can find out more and apply. Also, make sure to remember to download my free 2-part video training series and learn the ultimate secrets to happiness and fulfillment at kootblackson.com. Sending you all big hugs and love now.